Welcome to Digital Surfing. I'm your host, Darren Smith, and today I'll be sharing some of my highlights from this year. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another season finale, this time bringing to a close our third season of the Digital Surfing podcast. This year, we've shared 16 episodes with topics ranging from the importance of personalization in lead nurturing to change management for non-tech-savvy users, the impact of remote work on CRM, and how to align marketing teams and sales teams. Let's dive into some of my favorite moments of the year. My first comes from the episode with Irina Chukchina, CMO of Tunes, where she discussed the concept of steal like an artist and how it applies in the marketing world. She reminded us that originality often comes from the undetected inspiration and to surround ourselves with excellence to elevate our standards. This was a really interesting and enjoyable interview, which seemed to resonate with you all, as it was our best performing episode of the year.
The concept of the book is that nothing is really original. Originality is just undetected plagiarism. And I think if I were to explain it in a little bit more simple way is, if you think about, so the name of the book is Steal Like an Artist. So if you think about artists, they all belong, typically they belong to a school. They follow a master, they choose a master, and they try to copy him or her. And then as they learn how to copy, they start evolving and coming up with something original, with something new. And there are some really important insights that I have taken from it, that some of those things that really I can't, I'm just coming back to them again and again is, first of all, surrounding yourself with good things, good people, and good sources of inspiration. And that inspiration can come from different places. So from, again, books and people and experiences and travel. So I think the authorism summarizes really well as well. He said that basically if you put garbage in, you get garbage out. So I really like that. So trying to just curate and mindfully, intentionally expose yourself to great things and great examples of whatever it is that you're working on is going to help you in, to learn from it and then to elevate your own standard as well.
Next up was the thought-provoking episode with Peter Stojanovic, the editor of Hot Topics, at a time when AI was still a new and scary topic. Many of Peter's predictions about AI have unfolded in real time, confirming his deep understanding of this ever-evolving field. His engaging delivery and ability to foresee the future of AI were not only captivating, but also provided a clear lens through which we can view the rapidly changing AI landscape.
AI has the potential, if not it is already, to reshape society, much the Western society, of course, as well, as does climate change and global warming. We're not very good, though, as you sort of populations at considering two absolutely major, if not epochal, challenges and considering them together. It's just too much. You know, this it's so complicated even thinking about the potential AI on the workforce, for example, let alone AI on humankind in different regions and in different time zones, for example. So just the major things really is the consumption of energy that technologies, digital technologies, AI, quantum, blockchain are all using. That will obviously impact our efforts to control global warming if we don't change, update, evolve our energy mix and our electrical grids, for example. Also from a capacity of focus, so much of the challenges around global warming requires dedicated long amounts of time that lots of people need to deliver. That includes policymakers, governments, civil servants, lay people, you and I, journalists, business leaders, to consider not just what we individually or as businesses can do to help or minimize carbon emissions, for example, but how do we work together to do that? Now, you know, when something like the pandemic hits, a global pandemic, for a brief short period of time, we sort of got a little glimpse of what happens when a lot of people work together on one thing. When we think then for back to AI and global warming, it's huge, huge things. A part of me is a bit, well, is very concerned that our attention is sort of on both and neither, when actually we should be looking at this in a sort of a wider view.
My next highlight is the insightful conversation I had with Rolf Passion, the CMO of Xtype.io. Ralph spoke about the intricacies of modern marketing strategies, particularly highlighting his research on the ineffectiveness of gated content. His data-driven approach challenges conventional marketing wisdom, suggesting a need for more open and accessible content strategies. This perspective from Ralph highlights the evolution of digital marketing trends and that we need to rethink how we engage with our audiences.
I see this in the market still, the behaviors of, first of all, PDFs. Okay, a lot of PDFs out there, a lot of people that need content libraries for PDFs. I have only one PDF in my whole company, one as a content. And this is a historical thing which I try to overcome. Reason is, if you download a PDF, then you measure that to get a data inside of how many downloads happened. Let's see, the first two pages are great. The rest of the 15 pages, as you said, low level, low quality, crap, something like that. Could be anything. You don't know. Because the last 15 pages, maybe nobody read, but you get a great download statistic, right? Mm. So it doesn't mean anything. You don't understand if you put a PDF really available by up to the last page. You don't know what they read, how long they read this page, how long, what they clicked on. You don't know. You just don't know, okay? So that's the first start of the point. Second point, what I would like to make is, I believe that these gates, like register here for getting a report, only works for several types of content. One is the typical analyst papers, Gartner, Forrester, EMA, IDC. If I miss one, I'm sorry. These are the typical papers you just gate, okay? Second one is webinars, because this is educational material. That's great. All the rest, no. No white papers, no data sheets, no ebooks, no videos, no product videos. By the way, you can do this much smarter than the days before. So what I believe in a content management, it makes harder to people to attract them to read. So I can tell you with one example, we changed our PDF approach by using a tool which replaces PDF. It's a website creator. It's a builder on top. There are two or three, four of them on the market. I'm not mentioning them here. It's full integration. Every website, let's say we are creating this PDF 70 pages on this tool. I can tell you exactly when people go in there, anonymous or known, because known is when HubSpot sends an email out, I know from a tracking perspective who that is. Sure I do. But it's just an unknown. I can tell you where they stop reading. I can tell you what they clicked on the website. I know exactly how many minutes they're staying on this page and they're being interesting. I know exactly if they skipped it or skimmed it or whatever. I can tell you exactly by page, by topic, by link, what they did with it.
My final highlight is from the most recent episode with Gideon Thomas, the CMO of DealHub. Gideon's diverse background, spanning multiple continents, has shaped his approach as a CMO. His insights on the convergence of brand storytelling and demand generation highlighted how important authentic engagement is in marketing. Gideon's insights into managing customer experiences post-sale were especially interesting and showed why building sustainable and passionate marketing teams is so important.
If you want to grow a world-class brand, you grow it from your customers, not from your leads. So that's the area that needs to be treated really seriously. I'm not saying that we don't have a great customer success team. We have a fantastic world-class customer success team, but there's more on the table than that. There's a responsibility as the CMO to do solid customer marketing, and that breaks down into so many different avenues and tracks as to how that can be done well. And it's also the fuel for everything. You know, full circle, there's a very selfish intent there. Social proof, as you go up market, it doesn't matter what you claim. It's really about what the analysts or the customers, actually people trust analysts less because it's pay to play, but definitely customers first. They trust firsthand experiences. This is the real social proof. What was it like for you? What did you well? What would you recommend? What would you do differently? What don't? What are they not telling me from the website? So customer voice, customer experience is fantastic. And from a marketing point of view, we often speak in marketing jargon, and customer voice is often unfiltered. They say it the way that people speak it. And that's what people are looking for in our messaging, in our conversations, in our podcasts, and all the rest of it. So capturing that real customer voice. You don't want to hear that through two or three filters, even you there. And you don't want to hear that where you've spoken to the manager, who's spoken to the person managing that account, and then you've heard two to three levels of filter.
Thanks to all of you, our listeners, for making this year such a success. We almost doubled the number of downloads across episodes compared to the first 2 years of the show. We're taking a break for the rest of the year, which means we'll be back with more episodes in January, kicking things off with an overview of website accessibility and how changes in requirements will affect businesses going forward. So have a great holiday season and catch you all in the new year.